Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas taking you through a Friday afternoon. And in just a moment, we are going to catch up with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Before we catch up with Rosie, we want to remind you that when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we are giving away two tickets to see the Indians and Tigers at Progressive Field on Thursday, September 9th. So listen for your cue to call, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. Rosie, how are things up in Minnesota?
Oh, so far so good, Andy. Thanks.
Well, this has been a pretty interesting week, and boy, for the Indians, it's crunch time, no doubt about that, and there are certainly going to be a lot of guys that the Tribe really has to rely on here throughout the month of September, and you caught up with a couple of the younger guys on this Indians roster throughout the course of the week on Indians warm-up. I want to begin with a conversation you had with Jake Bowers just a few days ago. What are some of the things that Jake Bowers told you have kind of changed for him since his return from AAA Columbus?
Well, Andy, I think as much as anything else, just kind of getting away from the pressures of the big leagues, and I know that probably sounds bad, but sometimes for a young player, they just need to take that step back and get to a place where they can just go to work and not have to worry about necessarily performance that impacts a team in a pennant race. And for Jake, he was coming over and not the biggest of trades in the offseason, but I think for both teams, the Indians and Tampa Bay, the trade that brought him here, Yandy Diaz went the other way, and certainly he was someone the Indians thought highly of, and so he's going that other way, and Jake wanted to do well here, and he had his moments for sure. I mean, goodness, he hit for the cycle earlier in the season, but consistency was a struggle point for him. So he went down there and just, you know, he made some adjustments to his swing, but he said more so than anything else, it was just the mental part of the game, getting back into it and playing his game, which he feels is a good all-around game. He said he stole 8 bases in that month down there at Columbus, and he wants that to be part of his game too, not just relying on a base hit or a home run, that type of thing. He feels he's a good all-around player, and if he plays that way, he can be more of a help to the Indians. And he certainly seems more relaxed since he's been back.
The stolen base thing I was going to ask you about as well, because that was my major takeaway from your sit-down with him, because you don't always think about him as a guy that's going to steal a lot of bases. Did that surprise you, that he really kind of brought that up, the fact that he had 8 stolen bases in his 1 month down there?
Yeah, a little bit. But I think, you know, look, he's not coming up here to lead the league in stolen bases, but I think his point was just to be a good all-around player. And one thing you hear from a lot of different players on this team, just do one thing or try and do something that helps the team win each time you play. And that may be a ground ball to the right side that advances a runner to third and ends up scoring a run for the team. You know, it might not be something that, you know, shines in the box score, but I think that's kind of what he was getting at. And that's a great way to go about it, because if you have enough guys like that, you win a lot of games.
When they made the deal for him, it certainly seemed like he was going to split time at first with Carlos Santana. He definitely did earlier in the year. But, boy, the more this progresses, the more you get the impression the Indians are going to stick him out in left field and hope that he continues to figure things out. You still get that same sense that his future here might not necessarily be as a first baseman?
Well, I think it depends on what happens. Obviously, Santana signed for one more year, and who knows how it goes beyond that for him. But as long as he's here, he's going to play a lot of first base. It's too bad for Jake, because he's a better first baseman than a left fielder. He can be a really good defensive first baseman. But they have someone there already, so he's trying to do the best he can in left, and he does okay out there, and he's working at it. That day I interviewed him, it was after batting practice, and he said, "Hey, can I catch you after my group hits?" And I said, "Sure." But after his group hit, he went out, and when the next group was hitting, took fly balls off the bat, which is the key. I mean, you can go out there and take fungos from a coach, and that's helpful. But to go out there during BP and look in there and pretend that each pitch is like a game situation and get the balls coming off the bat in kind of a live situation, that's so much better. And then he took that time to do that. And so, you know, I think the willingness is there to try and become a really good left fielder. But it may take some time for him because he certainly is more comfortable at first base.
You also had a sit down yesterday with Oscar Mercado on Indians warm up, and just kind of curious what he had to say about that incredible catch that he made on Wednesday night that most definitely saved the game.
Well, it's still certainly top of mind for him, and I think for everybody who saw it. You know, he said it's kind of funny because when you're in the moment, you don't really think about how big a deal it is. You just, you know, you make the catch, you throw the ball in, and you know, finish up the play. But one of the, I think, the aspects of it that kind of hit home for him was when he saw a replay later, Eloy Jimenez, who hit the ball, you know, went out of his way to tip his cap to him, and then he reached out to him later, you know, just through social media to say, hey, man, that was a great play. I'll get you next time, and that type of thing back and forth. But he said that's when it kind of hits home, you know, how big a play it was. And certainly in the game, the reaction of his teammates told him that because it came at the most opportune of times.
And that seems like that may have been the only time the Indians were able to get Eloy Jimenez out in that entire series. Boy, Rosie, he was such a pest the last 4 days. What a player.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at him and some of the other young players the White Sox have, this might be the last year that, you know, the division is looking down on the White Sox. And who knows, maybe it takes longer than that. But you can see they're a team on the rise in terms of their talent, much more so than the other rebuilding teams in the division. They're clearly ahead of them, and they've taken it to the Indians this year. They lead the season series against the Tribe with 3 games left in Chicago. So that's as good an indicator as any that they have the Indians' attention. There's no question, and Jimenez is a big part of their rebuild.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, they've had the Indians' number this year. The scary part about that, as you stated, the Indians aren't done with them just yet. They've got to go back to the South Side one more time this year. Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Don't forget, when we wrap up with Rosie, we're giving away 2 tickets to see the Indians and Tigers on Thursday, September 19th, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Rosie, one guy that has just continued to crush the ball over the last couple of weeks, Franmil Reyes. And, of course, he had some struggles at the beginning of his tenure with the Tribe, but he has really turned things around. Any particular reason for his success of late?
You know, I think just getting more comfortable in a new situation. Young guy traded for the first time in his career to a team in the pennant chase, and so that's not easy. Sure was trying to do too much early on. You saw that, swinging at everything, trying to hit it 900 miles instead of just the 9 miles that he needs. You know, he's got so much power anyway, he doesn't really have to, you know, to try and hit home runs. And so I think you've seen him just calm down and really get into a good routine and adjust to being a designated hitter. He was over with the Padres playing in the outfield, and it is an adjustment. It's not easy, but he's found a routine now. They had that series in New York against the Mets where he did not start because there was no DH. And he said that was so beneficial because he was able to kind of do some things during the game, knowing that he could pinch hit at some point, which he did. But he really got some good routines down that were helpful when he returned to the lineup as a DH. And that seems to have gone a long way toward helping him really become a force in the middle of that lineup. And that's so exciting because, you know, that was a big trade for all the teams involved. And I know people were excited about Yasiel Puig, but he's not going to be here after this year. You know, he's a free agent at the end of the season. He'll go somewhere else. But they have Reyes locked up for a while. He's very early in his major league career, so he's under team control for quite some time, and that's really exciting. Considering the season he's having in terms of home runs and runs driven in, that's a force in the middle of your lineup that's going to be here a while, and it's exciting just to see the adjustments he's made in a short period of time.
I thought it was interesting, Rosie. You just mentioned how having a day off because there was no DH when they played in New York really seemed to benefit him. And I guess we'll find out the answer to this next question hopefully tonight. You think the same kind of thing can help out Yasiel Puig? Because he certainly struggled of late, didn't play in the finale against the White Sox yesterday. You get the feeling that maybe the same kinds of things could certainly benefit Puig not playing yesterday, giving him a little bit of rest and maybe a chance to reestablish some routines going into tonight's game against the Twins?
Absolutely, and I think the rest part of it is probably most important. I mean, he wasn't spending yesterday working on routines, I don't think, with a, you know, quick turnaround and all that. But just a day to, you know, catch your breath a little bit, watch a game, and then be ready to go for this weekend. I don't think it could hurt, let's put it that way, and then we'll see if there's some impact on that this weekend.
Carlos Carrasco's return, very emotional, obviously great for everybody involved. And I thought, you know, both teams that the Indians faced, and when he returned, they were very, very classy. The Rays, of course, back on Sunday, and the Sox also gave him a round of applause when he appeared on the field a few days ago. And while the results certainly weren't exactly what I think a lot of us were hoping for, boy, Rosie, watching him pitch, it certainly didn't seem like he didn't have his usual stuff. It looked pretty darn good, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I think for him, it seems as if it's the breaking ball that's been a struggle here in his first two appearances. And we talked on Monday on the pregame show, and he just said that's the key. You know, his breaking ball's not there yet, and he needs to find that. Because you're right, the velocity's there, and he certainly seems fairly sharp. But again, I mean, he missed three months, and that's a long time to be out, and a lot of that was spent, you know, on a battle for his life in terms of leukemia and not really picking up a baseball. So, gosh, you know, everyone has such high hopes for him, and certainly the Indians do. We're, you know, thinking maybe he could be a boost down the stretch for that bullpen, but maybe it's not fair to think that way based on where he's been and how long he's been out. But he's a good competitor, and I think once he finds his breaking stuff again, he'll be okay.
Any new news on Corey Kluber? I asked that just because here we are on September 6th, and it kind of feels like we're inching awfully close to that point of no return, and we haven't heard a whole lot recently about the oblique injury. Any new news on Corey Kluber and when he might start returning to game activity again?
You know, just the most recent is he's been doing as much as he can, mainly in the pool, to, you know, take gravity out of the equation if he can. But I mean, we're going on 3 weeks now where he hasn't been able to throw because of that. And so you're starting to get to that point where he'll need to build up and need that time to build up, and there won't be any minor league games to pitch in. So, it's going to be tough. They'll probably do as much as they can to get him back. But, it seems like right now it's a toss up whether he'll be able to, which is a shame because he worked so hard to get back from the broken arm and was a start away from being back, but unfortunately, the oblique issue is setting him back right now, and it remains to be seen. There's no new information on whether he'll be back or not.
Bear with me on this next question, Rosie. I was thinking about this a couple days ago, and the name I'm going to throw at you probably isn't going to resonate with a lot of people as a guy that could be looked at as a potential team MVP. But I thought, you know, as well as he's hit this year, certainly providing a lot of stability towards the bottom of the order, and the way he impacts just about every single play got me to thinking, you know, you hear a lot of people say, hey, this guy and that guy, I'd hate to think about where we'd be without him. What about Roberto Perez? I mean, I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, but I don't think he's underappreciated or undervalued, but anytime you talk about guys who have been key cogs from day one for this team, he's not always the name that comes up. Could you make the case that he belongs in the conversation for team MVP because he impacts the team in so many ways and is having a career year?
I think he could. I mean, look, Lindor is putting up better numbers. So is Santana and that type of thing. And you could go over to the starting pitching and talk about Mike Clevinger, the way he's responded. Shane Bieber's had a heck of a year, all those guys. But sure, you know, if you look at it from that standpoint, what he's done behind the plate and then the way he's come through at the plate, he'll never be, you know, he won't, I don't know who votes, you know, whose votes on a team MVP, but, you know, he wouldn't be that guy because of the others, but certainly has had a major impact. And believe me, he is not overlooked within that clubhouse and on that coaching staff. So, he's been as valuable as anybody because of some of the things the pitching staff has done. And then his own contributions with big home runs and big base hits.
Absolutely, and that's why I bring that up, because, you know, it's been well documented the amount of injuries that this pitching staff has sustained, and boy, it certainly doesn't look as though they've ever missed a beat, and he is certainly a huge, huge part of that. All right, Rosie, well, obviously a huge series coming up this weekend against the Twins. Just kind of want to pick your brain here, get a little series preview. What kinds of matchups really intrigue you this weekend?
Well, just, Indians pitching. Is it enough to quiet the Twins on a weekend where, you know, for the division chances, the Indians need to sweep. There's no way around it. And they have Pletko, Savali, and Clevinger lined up, you know, two younger guys, and then, you know, they're ace of the staff right now. So I think they like what they have lined up here. But, you know, that Twins lineup, that's what you try and match up against, and it is not easy. And they're clicking again. There's no question about it. They just went on an 8-2 road trip, 10 games away, and they won 8 of them. So they're playing well again. And how do you cool them off? We'll see if Pletko can do that starting tonight.
Certainly look forward to seeing how the Tribe fare against the Twins all weekend long. Rosie, as always, we tremendously appreciate the time. Have a great call, and we look forward to catching up again next week.
You got it both. Thanks.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, the phone lines are open. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. If you call 440-322-0930, that's 440-322-0930, well, then you'll win a couple of tickets. We'll take the second caller. Two tickets. Thursday, September 19th, the Tribe and Tigers. The tickets are yours if you're the second caller at 440-322-0930. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's get to a break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.